You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Andy Holding with you on this edition, looking ahead to Wednesday's action on the 30th of January. On Racing Radio on Wednesday, Gordon Brown, Chris Pimlott and Kevin O'Malley will be your studio team from 1pm with Leicester, Lingfield, Plumpton and Wolverhampton to look forward to. Also tune in to William Hill's Betting TV, of course, tomorrow. That's live from 8am through till 2am with all of the US action and Greyhound action as well. But loads to look forward to on Wednesday. I'm Alex Dunn. This is Andy Holding.
Hello, buddy. How are we doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
All right, yeah.
We've had a bit of a...
Pleasantries over.
We've had a bit of a funny day and a half in William Hill Towers, haven't we?
We
had a leak last night.
All of us nearly got electrocuted.
Exactly. It caused a mass exodus.
Yeah.
And now... Oh, no one's back apart from us, really.
Mm. We're a bit of a ghost town in the office.
We're flying the flag solo. Mm. But hopefully everything's okay. And we've got some action at Wednesday to go out. Now, we do, as we record this, which is at lunchtime on Tuesday, we've got an inspection pending at Leicester, is that right?
Plumpton and Leicester,
correct. Mm-hmm. So fingers crossed they get the go-ahead. Of course, as we record this today on Tuesday, Lingfield was off. Of course, tomorrow that's a different story with it being on the all-weather. So... loads to go out. We're going to start, though, by discussing a few of the weekend's top performers. Now, if you've heard Andy on Racing Radio in the last day or two, you'll have heard him extolling the virtues of some horses, not least Paisley Park. Now, the handicappers had his say, not that he's going for handicaps anyway, but Paisley Park up £12 now to 168, which is a mammoth rating, but I'd imagine you're going to say he's done everything in his power to put him lower than that. He should be 168 or thereabouts.
Yeah, I don't know where he comes out with regards previous winners of the race, like your big Buxes and your Ingalls Drivers down the year, Barracuda. And it's early days to suggest that he's going to get into that bracket just yet. But all the signs are there at the moment. This is a stayer of some repute. Certainly based on his time figures anyway, which I've got him doing.
And the big Bucks 174, by the way.
Yeah, I was £6 off. Yeah. Big Bucks. Is that in his pomp or was that just Big Bucks?
That was throughout. That was from when he won the Liverpool Hurdle in 2009 all the way through to him just being edged out by Nakara Bow in the 2014 Cleve. So
he's edging up towards that echelon, isn't he?
Is he that good?
I think he is, yeah. It probably wasn't the greatest ever lineup in the sense... Yes, it was competitive, but... When you actually analyse the horses he beat, a lot of them are on the wane or very difficult to predict nowadays. Your likes of Holstein, you know what I mean, Harry Sam Spinner. They're not probably capable of running to the same level on a regular basis. Yes, one or two of them can pitch in a good run every now and again. So he was probably beating horses largely on the downward slope. But it was just the way he did it, which impressed me. He clocked... Not only a pretty good overall figure, not the best overall figure that I've ever got for a staying hurdler, but it was reasonable. But it was his circuit time, which was very good. Now, we'd already had two runners on that track, over the hurdle track, to give us a fairly good guide of what time they should be running to.
Yeah.
Fakir Dedere did, I can actually remember these without even looking at a paper, he did 2:43.9.
Mm-hmm.
Birchhill did 2:45.1. Obviously eased because the other horse fell at the last. He might have gone quicker than that. And then along pops Paisley Park and does 2:43.1, which is 0.8 second quicker than Fakir Dedere, who in turn clocked the fastest time I've got a juvenile running for the last 2 years.
Oh, right.
So effectively, he ran the last circuit at 2 mile championship speed.
Yeah.
And he actually, to my eyes anyway, and listening to the report, got there a little bit too soon. He tends to doss in front this horse, so if he had a bigger marker to carry him even further into the race, i.e. not hit the front, ran in the home bend, he could have run a good deal quicker. I think he's the, I think he's that type of horse that only do enough when he hits the front. So he won by 12 lengths, but if he had the right inclination, he probably could have gone further clear.
Off the back of that, we went 6-1 for him to win the Stayers Hurdle.
Yeah, I had that discussion in here yesterday. It just shows you, doesn't it, when odds compilers haven't got anything to reference, how vulnerable they are. It actually tells punters out there a huge lesson. The best value to have is when they've got the idea of the value rather than the layers, because the layers haven't got a chance to look at the machine, check with other firms. They just go on gut instinct, like we all do. When a horse goes past the line, we make an instant decision as a punter to think,
do I like that one?
That was 10-1 before the race. Given how he's won, I would probably be prepared to back that horse at X price.
Yes.
When that horse crossed the line, I looked at what he was before. He was 8-10-1, generally speaking. You know, he's beaten everything there that he's likely to face at Cheltenham other than Penn Hill. So he's battered everything 12 lengths. You've done all the sums. I thought in my head he was a 2-1 chance at best.
Well, it was sixes. We quickly trimmed it to fours.
Yeah.
Which was pretty much in keeping with the rest of the industry. He's now 7-4.
Yeah.
Which I'd say is about right.
Well, our odds compilers have basically gone from saying, we don't fancy this horse, we're going to lay it, to saying we're completely and utterly wrong, we don't want to take any more money on it. So we've actually gone from puffing our chests out to saying, we don't fancy this horse, to actually like backing down completely and all having a rethink and saying, you can't have it both ways, well, can you, as a layer? You either want to lay it because you don't think it's good, or you think it's brilliant, but then you go the shortest price. We've done both. Basically, we haven't got a clue.
You've got a middle ground.
Yeah.
I thought that it was... I was chatting to you yesterday off air, and I was saying, yeah, but what's... There's got to be something that can challenge it. But you look at the opposition. Penn Hill currently 7-1, 10s for Super Sunday, Faheen 12s, Apple's Jade 14s, Sam Crow 16s, 20s and bigger the rest. Well, half of them aren't going to turn up anyway. And those that are, we know exactly what we're getting with them. They're not improving.
No, there isn't actually anything. The only thing that could beat Paisley Park is Paisley Park himself.
Yeah.
He has, in the past, been pigeonholed into the screwy category in the sense that he's always had a little bit of a bit of character about him. He hasn't been overly straightforward on every single occasion, but he just seems to have been fine-tuned by Emma Lavelle. He looks as though he's come of age this season for one reason or another. I was looking to pick holes in him going into the weekend. I've always been a fan of the horse. I tipped him twice last year on my site, and once when he won and once when he should have won at Warwick. So I've always had the horses down as a good horse, and he's always clocked some good numbers, and I've always thought he's capable of better. But I thought Saturday was his assy test, in the sense that his only one bad run in his life came in the Albert Barley over the same course and distance. With that ringing at the back of my mind, and he was like 3-1 anti-post, 4-1 Saturday, I thought there might be something else in the race that might be good enough. But quite clearly...
Not even close.
I mean, I thought Black Op was a potential danger. He didn't stay. I think connections of him need to go back in trip and perhaps look at the Aintree race, the 2.5 mile race, because he won there last year. West
approach
on his day can put in the kind of run that he did on Saturday, but he also
that's as good as
he's a right Oxo horse nowadays. You know, he ran terrible at Cheltenham when he spat the dummy out, but he's a fair guy, to be fair, for West Approach, because you know on his day he's right up there with his stable companion Thistlecrack, because he comes from the same kind of background. But I mean, all the others, they were just not even good enough to lace his boots.
And other horses that have moved in the handicap off the back of Saturday's exploits, Kildestart is now rated 147, up £6.
Ouch. Yeah, Ben Pornham was interviewed straight after the race, and he was kind of like downplaying the results, saying, well, we only won by a shortest margin. I can't imagine we'll go up any more than 3 or 4, knowing that he was 1-4-1 going into Saturday, hoping that the handicapper would leave him on 1-4-5, but he's put him up to 1-4-7, which therefore rules him out of the handicap which he's been targeted. So he'll probably have to rethink and go for the JLT now.
Yeah, back to the drawing board.
Well, yeah.
Well, you say that, you've got a good horse. And you can't be too disappointed.
And the JLT is almost like the sort of like the pariah of the novice category, isn't it? In the way that the Ryanair is deemed as very much the
inferior
to the other two, yet it's a grade one status. Like, nobody wants to run in the Ryanair, nobody wants to run in the JLT. We only ever get a handful of runners.
The other noticeable one would be Birchdale, who's got an opening mark of 146.
Yeah,
hard to quantify really, but you said that had a fair speed figure. The clock
fair enough. I think it also pays a compliment to the horse that fell at the last. I think it probably would have beaten him.
That's also gone up. I can't. I was just checking.
Broom for Storm.
Yes, I was checking. Who was I checking there? I had a tweet saved from, who was it? Was it Andrew Smith? I feel like it was. And I did see one earlier in the day as well about Bruno Pastorma. I can't off the top of my head remember what it was, but I will endeavour to find out. Yeah, Andrew Smith at Festival Racing tweeted Birchdale opening mark 146. I'll try and find what Bruno Pastorma is now. But yeah, that's also gone up off the back of that fall.
Only inadvertently, Bruno Pastorma has paid a handsome compliment to those that finished ahead of him in the Challow Hurdle, because he was only fourth behind Champ, Getaway Trump and Cateson. So that form looks pretty solid. So connections of both Champ and Birchdale have got food for thought, haven't they, going into the festival? Champ, I presume, will go Ballymore. Not sure whether Birchdale will join him and whether he'll go up in trip to the Albert Bartlett. Maybe that might be the case. I mean, he's a former point-to-point winner, so he's got plenty of stamina. OK Corral ran really well for the same connections in the Albert Bartlett last year behind Kilbrick and Storm when he finished third. And I fancy Getaway Trump for the Supreme Novices dropping back in trip and, first of all, taking on the older horses in the handicap over the same course, the two-mile race, the handicap in a few weeks' time. So all those little form lines, one way or the other, linked together regarding Birchdale.
Yeah.
And Bruno Pastorma.
Exactly. I can't find what Bruno Pastorma's rated now. Anyway, okay. It's gone up.
Yeah.
We'll leave it at that, Andy. Right. So some interesting pointers from the weekend. What about on Wednesday? We're going to focus on one race at Leicester. And one at Plumpton. We'll start at Leicester. It's the last race on their card, the 4:10. It's not a classic, Andy.
No, it's not. And
something's got to win it, though.
I rather potentially put my foot in it here yesterday when somebody asked me, somebody came out and just said, give me a horse to follow. Don't care what it is, where it is, just give me a horse to follow. Mm-hmm. What's well handicapped? And I actually said the best handicapped horse in the UK and Ireland is a horse called Choo Choo Boogaloo, trained by Sam England. She was very, very well backed in her, I think it was a previous start at Newcastle when she was sent off favourite, and it looked as though the gamble was going to be landed. She literally cantered into the lead, and he thought the cupboard to be a little bit bare when they went for it. I put that down to the tacky ground that day. Perhaps she was just short of a gallop, I don't know, but connections thought she was a certainty. She looked like she was jumping the last. But the one thing that Jonathan England did learn about her that day is not try and hit the front too soon. He's got to try and keep her on the bridle. Very similar to Manuel, the horse that also runs in the same colours. A real bridle horse. But the beauty about her run the other day at Kelso is that she just kept running off on the bridle. Nothing could get her off of it. And the time she clocked was literally staggering for a horse rated 76 or 78. She actually beat, on my circuit times, horses rated in the 130s. There's Encore Chomp and Lord Yates running a novice hurdle over the same course and distance, and they were, I think it was 3 or 4 seconds slower than Choo Choo Boogaloo, and Choo Choo Boogaloo never came off the bridle.
Mm.
I actually wrote in my notes, and I'm almost like ashamed to show this, in case the wheels come off tomorrow, I actually put 125 plus in my notes to suggest that I think my estimate is that she ran to at least 125 at the very, very worst.
She's been raised a stone.
Yeah.
She's still only rated 92,
It won't be anywhere near good enough to stop her winning. I know you like to nap short price favourites.
Yeah, this might be one.
You can nap her with confidence. She'll be odds on to win tomorrow. If she's not odds on, I'll be absolutely staggered. She should be odds on, and hopefully she should win. It looks an egg and spoon race. There's nothing in there that I'd be remotely concerned about. Jonathan England, all he's got to do is just sit her in, drop her in at the back. She'll come through on the bridle. If he just allows her to lead at the last, then she'll just do the rest.
Okay.
She's probably the closest thing you'll get to a good thing over hurdles.
And don't forget, you can check out the William Hill specials as well on the day of the race. And potentially back Choo Choo Boogaloo to win by X amount of lengths and get a juicier price, which of course has its risk.
Well, it does have its risk with a horse that, you know,
yes,
we can't always 100% necessarily guarantee to
nevertheless,
find
they are there,
pack of the bride.
They're there to peruse.
Yes.
If you are looking for a little bit more. That's Choo Choo Boogaloo then in the 4:10. Is there something that we can double it up with? Let's go to Plumpton. In fact, this is before that race. It's at 3 o'clock. Novice hurdle over the extended 2.5 mile trip, and we were just mentioning this race off air. It looks, to all intents and purposes, a match, and a match between two horses that have certainly shown fair form in Coolwell and Third Wind. Yes, they've both got the penalty to defy here, but firstly, is there anything else in the race that you're scared of?
No, absolutely not. Right. I've chosen this race because I'm actually quite keen on both of these two horses going forward.
Yeah.
It's more of an exercise in talking about them and what they're capable of and where they might end up. But they both come from very, very interesting form lines, which I've been following of late down the south. Both of them have run at this track really well. Third Wind, I think, just about holds sway. I wouldn't say I like him more, but I think the horse that beat him here the last day is potentially quite smart. I really fancied Third Wind the other day, even though he was second favourite and he was up against Phoenix Way. But I think that Phoenix Way is a fair till, you know. I actually would go as far as to say that he would be my long-term fancy for the EBF final. That was a qualify for the EBF series at Plumpton. He was very well backed. He was unlucky the time before Sandown. I don't know if you remember, he had a bad mistake, three out, last in the back straight. He ended up finishing second to a good one of Nicky's, which I can't remember the name of. I Can't Explain, I think it might have been.
It was I Can't Explain.
I know the form of that race has worked out well because Grenadine has won. So all the form lines are working out really well. And even though he had to carry the penalty, I thought he might beat Phoenix Way. And he did absolutely nothing wrong. He travelled, he led over two out, and I thought he'll go and still go and win. Phoenix Way came at him and went and did him on the running. They're well clear of Comanche Red. The Bestie Man was third at 100-1. I put that up the other day. Took floor and odds on favourite, called Manning's Estate, and he beat it easily. So collectively, that form, the time figure, the horse that beat it, the horse that ran against the time before, all that form of that race
stacks up
really, really well. But it will be no pushover because Coolwell, his main opponent, is also very talented in his own right. He got beat last time out by, again, another horse on the upgrade called On the Slopes, who I put up on Sunday to beat the odds on Poke Grenadine.
Yes.
And I thought he was going to do it, but Grenadine came and did me. So, as you can see, using the likes of Grenadine and Phoenix Way and one or two other horses, these two are very, very closely matched. Their time figures are fairly comparative. I just slightly favour, and this would only be slightly, Third Wind because he's run over the course and distance, whereas Coolwell has only run over the 2 mile one trip. That said, I do think Coolwell is a stayer.
Yeah.
And I think he'll appreciate the step up. So this is a real good balancing act. If you ask me to price up the race now, looking at it, I would probably say Third Wind will be 5-4 and Coolwell will be 7-4. And I haven't seen any tissues. That would be the prices I'd put in my head.
Yep.
On paper now, if I was a layer, I'd be 12, 14, 16 or one bar.
Yeah.
And you can name the price to anything else, really.
I was going to say, we've got no prices to go off right now.
No.
But hey, if they end up being that, then give Andy Holding a pat on the back. Whether he's giving you a winner or not, he may have priced
it correctly. Well, it's the kind of price I would like to almost etch in my head as I was...
As a guide.
When the prices come through, in my head I'm thinking...
If
they bet the other way around, which I don't think they will, but if they did, then I'd be lumping on Third Wind at 7-4, 2-1 if there was to switch it the other way. It's highly unlikely.
One other thing to mention, Richard Johnson rides Third Wind. It's Max Kendrick on Coolwell. And obviously you'd rather have Dickie on. But Max Kendrick does take 5 off, which for horses that are rated within a pound of each other, and obviously they're both carrying the same weight, could
be key. If you are weights and measures minded, then you'd certainly factor that in. But then you'd have the counter argument of saying, well, is Max Kendrick a £5 inconvenience? Against Richard Johnson, would he render his chances? Would he improve his chances?
Yeah.
That's for you as a punter to make your own mind up, whether you see his £5 claim as a positive or a negative.
Very interesting, though.
So it's a good matchup. Like I said, I've picked a real head to head between the two highly rated horses or up and coming horses, almost rated virtually the same, similar form lines. I'm looking forward to that. That's probably the race of the day for me tomorrow. I think hopefully one of the two will head towards Sandown for the EBF final with a bit more experience and maybe a win on its back. But Third Wind would get the vote.
Choo Choo Boogaloo in the 4:10 at Leicester. Third Wind in the 3 o'clock at Plumpton and hopefully a nice little double on Wednesday.
You probably won't get rich with Choo Choo Boogaloo.
No.
But you might have a bit of fun watching it. And It'd be a good little race between those two I mentioned in that 3 o'clock.
Lovely stuff, Andy. Don't forget, you can tune into Racing Radio tomorrow. Gordon, Pimmers and Kevin in the studio from 1 p.m. and Betting TV live from 8 a.m. through till 2 a.m. for all the US horse racing action and the domestic greyhound stuff as well. This has been the William Hill Racing Podcast, and make sure you rejoin us again tomorrow.